Welcome to the Sportscast, May 31st, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch.tv, Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. Also on Facebook. You could also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online digital radio. And you can also visit our website, thesportscast.net, for the latest and greatest. And also our app, The Sportscast for iOS. Wow, what a weekend in sports. A lot going on. NBA, Eastern Conference, Finals, the Champions League finale was also this past weekend, which Real Madrid won 1-0. Also, the New York Rangers won last night in their pivotal Game 7, who they beat over the Hurricanes, now facing the Tampa Bay Lightning. And, of course, Game 7 of the Heat versus Celtics, which my Heat lost. It's okay. I kind of saw it coming. Anyways, join us all the way from Boston. He has COVID, but he's able to do the show. Ryan Krista, welcome back to the Sportscast.
In Diego, I do have COVID, but I did make it back to my home city of Rochester. A little bit of an adventure, but back home and nestled in my isolated man cave here and ready for a week of watching a lot of sports, San Diego. I'm preparing myself. So
now the question is, how long will you isolate for?
Well, according to standards, 5 days since I tested positive. But I would say mildly symptomatic to asymptomatic. I just kind of got a little bit of congestion, but feeling pretty good. Hopefully my wife and son are keep testing negative, so hopefully that stays the case, and we can get life back to normal hopefully next week. So
that what happens when you go visit Fenway Park to watch the Red Sox.
Yeah, Santiago, I got to live a lifelong dream.
Oh, first time there.
Well, I've been to Green Monster. Been to Fenway Park, but I got to sit on top of the Green Monster Friday night. I think it had to do a lot with the Celtics game Friday night, that the demand for tickets for Red Sox was pretty low, and we're able to find a deal for standing room only on Fenway on the Green Monster, and then no one said it, in the front row. So we had seats that people pay upwards to, on a Friday.
Sorry, guys. We're still streaming live. I had an issue with Ryan, but let me give him a call back and see what happened. Give me one sec. As Ryan was saying, he was up in Boston, got COVID sometime during visiting Fenway Park, and then I think he went to the TD Garden. I have to ask him clearly what happened there up in Boston, but we're calling him in. He is up in New York, has COVID, but looks like he'll be all right. Being isolated just for a couple of days, so we'll see what Ryan is. Maybe if he's run out of battery, then I might have to go solo, unless Irwin comes in, because Irwin was not able to join us momentarily. So let me give him another call. Oh, Ryan Krista is back. So to be clear, you did go to the TD Garden to watch the Celtics, right?
No, I didn't. Sorry, I don't know when I cut off and when I didn't. But because of the demand of the Celtics game Friday night, that we were able to get a really good cheap ticket for sitting on the Green Monster Friday night. So it was because of the Celtics that we were able to get really good seats there for the Red Sox, that normally come at a much higher price.
There you have it, an opportunity to go to the old park, Fenway. How old is it? Is it pretty old when you walk in?
Oh, yeah. It's not unlike anything else you've ever been to. It's 110 years old. So, it's, there's nothing else like it. I haven't been to Wrigley Field, which is, I'm assuming, a little similar, but there's really nothing you can do with, making the stadium bigger, because it's literally landlocked by five streets, you know, the, so it's just, you know, it's historical. It's, you know, walking down what was called Yawkey Way, which, you know, had a, changed it to Jersey Street, you know, which is basically like a street party before every Red Sox game. It's nothing like it, you know, it's, you really have to be there to see it. But, you know, it's sight to behold, you know. Boston was buzzing, you know, with, you know, Game 7 Sunday night, you know, we're at Fenway Park, you know, a lot of people are very excited for it, you know, and they got their result they were looking for. You know, Jimmy Butler gave everything he could, you know, to keep the Heat in it, but it was a Celtics night.
Boston sports still on the rise, which that will segue in to our recap of Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Heat and the Celtics, where the Miami Heat had an impressive Game 6 win. A lot of momentum coming in to Miami. But, Ryan, Boston always had it. I always thought they were healthier. The Heat were struggling with, you know, health issues with Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero, which he came back to play but wasn't enough. Tatum had 26 points. Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart each added 24 points, which I think was sufficient for them to beat Miami 100-96. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, you know, what happened in Game 7, you know, the Celtics got a little bit of something from their big, you know, their big guns. You know, you said Tatum 26, Art 24, Jaylen Brown 24. But if you look at, you know, he, you know, Jimmy Butler had a good game, but, you know, there's quite a drop-off. You know, Bam had a decent game, you know, better than he had been playing. But, you know, not having Tyler Hero healthy, Kyle Lowry just, he looked old this playoff. It's not just the playoffs, you know, I'm sure, and, you know, we'll see what his future is like, you know. But just didn't get enough, you know. Jimmy Butler, you know, couldn't make a claim to be the MVP of that series, you know, even though he lost. But he gave everything he could to, the, you know, keep the Heat in it. I really thought the Heat was a team that was really superstarless, but, you know, Jimmy Butler, you know, to me, you know, his last, especially last couple of games proved that, you know, he can rise. Now, maybe not consistently to superstar status, but, you know, when he has to keep his team running, he can be that.
Jimmy Butler had 47 points. He had 41 points in Game 6, also Game 5, multiple 40-plus points. Michael Jordan levels, Ryan, your thoughts?
Absolutely. You know, like I said, you know, I didn't see it coming. I think we've talked, you know, me and Irwin have talked. It was really a Heat culture of, you know, everybody does their part. But, you know, like we said, you know, Tyler Hero was non-existent. And then you're asking players, you know, role players, you know, like a Max Strauss, you know, P.J. Tucker. You know, these guys aren't made to go out there and replace points from Tyler Hero. Gabe Vincent, you know, Kyle Lowry wasn't himself. We said, you know, you really, I think if they could have gotten more consistency from Bam, you know, Baggio, you know, they might have won this series, you know, earlier, but, you know, he was inconsistent at times this series. I think it was really, you know, the front line of the Celtics, you know, was a great defense, you know, with Robert Williams. He can really, you know, he's a decent offensive player, but, you know, his ability to contest shots is really a factor in the Celtics.
Exactly, as Ryan was saying, health was an issue for the Miami Heat, even though they took it all the way to the end, but wasn't sufficient. If Tyler Hero was healthy, Ryan, it would have been a different outcome, right?
You would think it would have a chance to be, you know. I mean, you could also say the Celtics got inconsistent play from a lot of players, even at times Jason Tatum. You know, that, I think where Jason Tatum's problem is that he has a hard time playing full games together. He seems to have a good half, you know, second half, first. I mean, even, you know, Game 6, he was nowhere to be found. You know, they got offense from a Derek White, who's not a guy you can consistently lean on, you know, a nice role player. But I think, you know, we'll talk about the finals, obviously, but they're going to need more consistency from the, you know, at least their big two, and Tatum and Brown to have any shot to beat the Warriors.
This Celtics team went through a coaching change in the beginning of the year. Brad Stevens is the GM. We talked about this before. The transition is working out, is panning out. They were down 3-2 with the Bucks, Ryan. I thought the Bucks were going ahead. They beat the Heat. Is there something special going on with Boston?
Absolutely. You know, I think they found the right chemistry. You know, these are all teams they've fallen to in the past. You know, the Bucks, this Heat, you know, they kind of just, they ran through all the teams that, you know, have given them problems in the past. So, you know, was Brad Stevens a bad coach and better GM? I don't know. Is Ime Udoka just hitting the right buttons? Probably. You know, I think a combination of the moves that Brad Stevens made this year as a GM compiled with the moves that, you know, Danny Ainge made in the past, you know, they got lucky in some really bad trades that, you know, in the past that led them to bringing some big name players. You know, the years ago that Brooklyn Nets trade, you know, that really broke up the big three, you know, sending Kevin Garnett over to Brooklyn, you know, eventually led to the Celtics hitting rock bottom, but being able to grab the likes of the talents of Brown and Tatum and Marcus Smart, you know, this team plays both ends of the ball, you know, and really finding Father Time and Al Horford, you know. And most people laughed at, you know, the contract they gave him to come.
One last dance for him.
You know, finally make it to the finals. You know, a guy has, you know, played a long time in the NBA, you know, finally makes it, you know, and really a key contributor at times for the Suns team, you know, to make it. It's really changed his game, you know, to lengthen his career, you know, maybe not physical player in the post, but, you know, really finding that outside shot, you know. But also being that good interior defender at the same time, you know. That's what makes, you know, they have long, lengthy wings up front, you know, with Tatum and Brown and Smart. And then you got, you know, good rim defenders and Robert Williams and Al Horford. You know, this is a really solid, solid team in the Celtics, you know. And Ime Udoka seems to really be hitting the right buttons and getting the most out of his players. Like I said, I don't think Brad Stevens was not the problem as a coach, but, you know, sometimes you just need another coach to hit the right buttons, you know, a la, you know, I don't think Mark Jackson is a bad coach, but Steve Kerr was able to hit the right buttons with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson years ago, and the rest is history. So maybe we're seeing a starting of a dynasty in Boston, you know, with Ime Udoka and Tatum and Brown. So we'll see.
It's Tatum who has won the Eastern Conference MVP. Jason Tatum, what kind of player is he, Ryan? Is he that superstar? Is he going to go into that big table of stars with Steph Curry, Jordan, and LeBron? What is this player all about? Or is it, hey, let's just wait and see what happens this finals?
Yeah, you know, I think he's just kind of coming to his own now. You know, he had a lot of big games this year, point-wise. He just kind of took the team on the back, you know. This is, you know, there's a lot of similar, you know, I'm not going to lie about, you know, my fandom of the Mavericks. You know, both of them, you know, right about the end of the calendar year were below 500, you know, looking like, you know, lost seasons. But, you know, since the start of the new year, that, you know, they both of those teams really just kind of bought into the, you know, their coaches, you know, and they lean on their star players. You know, Mavericks, obviously, Luka Doncic, you know, and the Celtics leading on Jason Tatum, putting up huge numbers at times the second half of this year, you know, multiple 50-point games. You know, he's a guy, you know, can score on all three levels at the rim, mid-range, and three-pointer, you know, and also, you know, being able to, you know, at times being able to shut down other team's best player, you know. He's more of, you know, a guy who I think can play really good team defense. I don't know if he's a 40-minute shutdown defender, but if you need him to, you know, make life difficult for a guy, he can do that. So, yeah, Jason Tatum, I think just finally this year is really coming, you know, reaching his potential. And that's just, you know, that's the credit to Ime Udoka kind of hitting the right buttons with him.
Jason Tatum, Celtics, one, going to the NBA Finals. Let's go into the West before we preview the NBA World Championship. Warriors beat the Mavericks in 5 games, 4-1 series with the Warriors. Your thoughts over that matchup? Obviously, not much going on there looking at the stats, but tell us what were your thoughts, and I mean, what can the Mavericks do to improve for next season?
Yeah, it's kind of simple, Santiago. You know, the Warriors are deeper, the more weapons, and their weapons came to play. Except, Steph Curry's always going to bring it, but, Klay kind of reached a level I don't think he's gotten to since he's came back. And really, I thought the difference is a guy, Draymond Green, that his defense, but I meant to, I think Andrew Wiggins is a guy I thought was really made life very difficult for the Mavs. Because you can let Steph get Steph, but if you let a guy like Wiggins get to his spot and, kind of heat up, it's tough to win, with Indiana, once they get their into their system and they're flying around and, then they're running and gunning, it's tough, I look at game two, where the Mavericks came out, Mavericks depend a lot on the 3-point, Luka is setting everybody up for 3-point shots, and game two, the Mavericks just lit it up, first half going up by 19 points, up 17 midway through the third, and then all of a sudden, you're hit by a storm you just can't stop, once they get going, and if they get going on offense, they get going on defense, and it's, you just can't, it's hard, to describe in words, you just gotta see it, and it kind of brings you back to, the days of the Warriors, even before Kevin Durant got there, when it was the Splash Brothers, Steph and Klay playing off each other, Draymond, being that root primary kind of distributor of the ball. It was, as a Maverick fan, it was tough to watch, but as a basketball fan, it was kind of refreshing, to see the Warriors kind of back.
Yeah, this is a for sure vintage 2014. Let's stick with the Mavericks before we depart from Dallas. Good stride. Made it to the Western Conference Finals, beating the Jazz. Had to grind it out with the Jazz and with the Suns. Your thoughts, overall this season, Jason Kidd's first year as coach, is there more to come? Will they progress, or they need to add some more pieces?
Oh, I think this showed, that they can reach a certain level with Luka, and they got some nice role players. Jalen Brunson, see if he's a priority for the Mavericks. He's an unrestricted free agent, so basically he's free to sign wherever he wants, and the Mavericks can't really stop him. They can offer him a contract, which they kind of reluctantly have not really, Santiago, and it's kind of puzzling, a guy who's each year, taking a step forward, and even in the first couple of games of playoffs back, it seems a long time ago in April, he led him to a 2-1 record against the Jazz without Luka Doncic. This is a guy who's, when he has to, can take the team on his back. A lot of great role players who, they built this team really on, defensive 3-point shots,
How about Jason Kidd? You like him there?
Yeah, absolutely. They have a new identity. The Mavericks, under Rick Carlisle, were, a little bit more efficient, I think, offensively, the way they played, but they're AKA very
Jim
limited. Yeah.
yes, the Mavericks. Joseph Hastings, who was on the Sportscast last Friday, says they should bring in Kevin Durant. Your thoughts on that?
Well, everybody would like to bring in Kevin Durant. That would make anybody. I don't think that's happening, but...
But we're mixed in with that chemistry.
Yeah, it'd be all right. I think realistically, San Diego, they got to bring in a rim defender. They're pretty much planning on a guy named Maxi Kleber to play center, who is versatile, can hit the 3-point shot, can guard anybody. But at the end of the day, really, another breakout player for the Warriors this series is a guy named Kevin Looney, who had never scored more than 20 points in a game and got there a couple of times against the Mavericks because they basically had no one to stop him. I really look at it, got two options I feel like the Mavericks you know, yes, you can say Kevin Durant, but I think that's just a little unrealistic, really. But realistically, you know, you're looking at trying to add another 7-footer, and, you know, you've got a lot of dysfunction in Utah. So I think realistically, an option is Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert.
Yeah. And then because that adds instant defense, you know, a great, I think him and Luka in the pick and roll could be dynamic. And then also you've got to look at, you know, Miles Turner, another guy who's, I don't think in the future plans for them. Pacers, you know, another, you know, he's a local Dallas guy. So I think those are two guys I think, you know, Mavs, you know, fandom, you know, kind of looks at as a guys that could help the Mavericks take the next level. You know, they made a big move this year, San Diego. They sent a, you know, a guy with, you know, unlimited potential, Kristaps Porzingis, and basically sent him here for, you know, two guys and really one guy in the sense of plays the line. That's Spencer Dinwiddie, you know, and, you know, they rolled the dice and it kind of worked out, you know, for the short term this year. Spencer was a great addition, you know, kind of had a lot of punch off the bench. Scoring, you know, key shots, you know, but in a sense of what you get, what you get with Spencer Dinwiddie, you know, you traded away, you know, a guy who could be, you know, an all-star, you know, Kristaps Porzingis, just because it just never really fit with him and Luka, you know, so it's what it is. And, you know, they had a front office that it was time to move on and get out of that contract, you know, that they signed with Kristaps, you know, years ago. So, we'll see if they can use that flexibility, like, again, to bring in another true, you know, 7-footer rim protector, you know, at least somebody, you know, to kind of run alongside Luka. You know, I don't think they had a good thing going. You know, I don't know if they need another superstar wing player, you know, to be the difference. I kind of see, you know, what you guys see with Jalen Brunson. You know, I think two teams you got to watch out for, you know, who are desperate, you know, to start building ASAP, and that's the Pistons and the Knicks. You know, I really think those two teams who got financial flexibility right now in the salary cap are going to offer Jalen Brunson more money than the Mavericks would like to spend on him. So I really think it's less than 50-50. He comes back, and if he doesn't come back, then you probably do have to try to find another guy in the backcourt to go along with Luka. In the year and get back Tim Hardaway Jr., who missed most of the year. So that will help. But there's a lot of knowns. But again, this is a team that never hasn't made off first round since 2011 when they won the championship to actually make it to the Western Conference Finals. You know, it's, you know, something to be proud of as an organization, you know, so kudos to that. You just can't let it be like I remember is that 2019, the Trailblazers kind of made that jump to the conference finals, you know, going against the Warriors and got swept, and they never kind of recovered from that. You know, you don't want that to happen with the Mavericks where, you know, they kind of, they tip, you know, they got to the Western Conference Finals, got, you know, beat pretty handily, and they never were heard from again. So, and they have to break up the organization. So we'll see what happens, you know, the Mavericks. But I think it was wishful thinking. I thought they could stay up with the Warriors, but I think, you know, Luka's only one person out there, you know. He can, you know, they were going to make sure Luka wasn't going to beat himself, so, you know, they depended on other people hit those open shots, you know, and the Mavericks couldn't consistently do that to keep up with, you know, Steph and company.
Mavericks led by another international going deep, and let's see what they could do in the offseason. Let's go into the NBA Finals, Celtics versus Warriors. Game one is this Thursday, June the 2nd, in San Francisco. Game one, Warriors have home court advantage. This Warriors team on a roll. Probably their toughest series was against Memphis Grizzlies, which that game five, everyone talks about what happened there. And then you got the Celtics, of course, healthy. Warriors are having two young stars coming in to the play with Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins. Of course, you got the Splash Brothers plus Draymond Green. Is it too obvious? Is it clear? Ryan, break it down to us. What do you see in this series, and what do you think could be the outcome?
Well, I think the advantage that the Celtics, like you said, is it too obvious? Yeah, you should just mention a lot of playmakers for the Warriors, and that's essentially what was the doom of the of every team they played, you know, including the, you know, Mavericks, and, you know, ultimately the Grizzlies, like you said, did give them a great fight. You know, we don't know what happens if John Moran doesn't get hurt in that series. But, you know, another person that added a mix that got hurt in the Grizzlies series, the Warriors, and that's Gary Payton II, you know, is coming back. Another great defender for the Warriors, you know, not the offensive player, but a guy who can get out there, you know, and defend, you know, take the pressure off, you know, of, you know, Steph and Clay, that, you know, have to defend their best play, you know. So, but, you know, what the Celtics have, the other teams don't have, it's really a team that's really can lock you down defensively. Like, you've got a guy in Marcus Smart, you know, mentioned Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, those, like, lengthy wings, you know. And, you know, you're not going to get beat by Kevin Looney, you know, like the Mavericks were, because you have a guy in Al Horford and Robert Williams who will, you know, kind of won't be intimidated by a big guy like Kevin Looney, you know. So, yes, the Warriors have the advantage because I think they're deeper than the Celtics are. You know, they're deeper than everybody is, really. So, but ultimately, I think, you know, there is ways that the Celtics, you know, could use, you know, that, you know, they're a team first, you know, tight bond that, you know, you've seen throughout the playoffs. Use that, you know, momentum, you know, to make this a series, you know. But it's different than any other stage, you know. I think there's less of a grind in the NBA Finals. Yes, you play a lot of games, but the games are such more spread out. You know, you've got time to recover, you know, and, you know, hopefully injuries and fatigue will play less of a factor in this series than the other ones. And that's ultimately probably why these games are so spread out compared to the rest of the NBA playoffs.
Can the Celtics match up with the Warriors when it comes to shooting? Can they, you know, kind of equalize with them? What are your thoughts on that?
No, not particularly, but, you know, like I said, Jason Tatum has the ability to go off. Jaylen Brown has the ability to go off. But on a night-to-night basis, no. I mean, like you said, you know, if Steph Curry and Klay aren't killing you, you know, usually Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole are killing you off, you know, wings and guard position. You know, this the abundance of riches that they, you know, produce, you know, and they've been patient with a guy like Jordan Poole, you know, and while they were slumping last year, that guy got to play a lot of key minutes in games, you know, and instead of you're wasting those games that year, you know, they developed their players, you know, like Gary Payton Jr., you know. So that's just kind of a kudos to the Warriors organizations, you know, not to waste anything, but to get better. And there's even guys like, you know, even the game they lost in game four, you had guy, their first round pick, you know, Kuminga out of Florida State. You know, this is a guy who's ultimately, you know, a unicorn, kind of in the sense of can guard every position, you know, kind of a mismatch, you know. I mean, he's barely played in the playoffs, all, but he played in garbage time against the Mavericks and was unstoppable. So, you know, just an abundance of riches the Warriors are building in San Francisco, you know, for this year and to come, it's going to be tough to stop them. And right in the present, you know, like we're talking NBA Finals, you know, you're going to need it. You know, they're going to need Marcus Smart to be the defense player every game, you know, for them to, you know, to slow down Steph, you know, and everybody's got to do their part, you know. I think Robert Williams inside will, you know, kind of give, you know, Draymond some, you know, mismatch, especially defensively, but I think Draymond offensively will be able to take him off the dribble in the sense of enough to not to score himself, but to be able to distribute to others around him. So I think Draymond will definitely not be a guy, you know, scoring, but also being that point forward, you know, to get the offense rolling.
Can we fairly compare the Celtics team maybe to this Toronto team that beat the Warriors, maybe Tatum playing that Kawhi role, or you don't see a comparison there?
Yes, you can see that. Obviously, injuries played a role in that. Kevin Durant wasn't healthy. You know, I don't know if Tatum's at Kawhi's level. You know, Kawhi was literally take a team on his back, you know, had finals experience before. That's the one thing too, is, you know, most of his Warriors team, you know, minus some of the younger players, have most of the key contributors for the Warriors have been there before, and that's, you know, none of the Celtics have been there, so.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
I mean, it doesn't look good for the Celtics on paper, but don't rule out this team. You know, this team has, you know, been kind of doubted, you know, all season, you know, and just, you know, they've kept on crashing and crawling their way up, you know, the Eastern Conference standings, you know, in the playoffs. Every time you think they're done, they just keep fighting. So you can't doubt out the Celtics team.
You can't doubt them out. Of course, I don't personally think will be a sweep, but we'll find out a little bit later what Ryan thinks will be the series margin there. Ryan Krista, random question. Will the NBA World Championship have a better atmosphere at the Chase Arena, or was Oracle always going to be the best?
I think Oracle is special. You know, somebody was talking on the radio about that. You know, Oracle was an older building. It was built closer. You know, everybody was kind of closer to the floor. You know, it's loud. It tended to be a little bit more louder. You know, Chase is a nicer, you know, arena. It's more spread out. You know, it seems to be more of an elitist crowd there at times for the Warriors. Does that make sense? You know, who maybe aren't as involved, but in the playoffs they've been very loud. You know, but yeah, there's something about those early years in the Oracle Arena. That place was rocking. But that's one thing, though, was the Warriors, why they're so tough at home, though. When Steph starts saying those crazy three-pointers, you know, and he kind of feeds off that crowd, you know, the energy, that's what makes the Warriors so tough at home, because he definitely feeds off the energy they have there.
Well, there you have it. Celtics, Warriors. Let's go into predictions. Ryan, what is your series prediction? How much will the winner win, and who will be the winner?
We're going to go the Warriors in six.
Warriors in six. That's still a close series.
Yeah. I think there'll be some games that come down to the wire that the Warriors will pull out. If the Celtics can steal one of the two games in San Francisco this week, it's going to be a big key in, you know, making this a longer series. But, you know, if the Warriors come out like they have, you know, and win those first two games and, you know, Golden State, I don't foresee it being a long series. But I think it's safe. I feel pretty safe saying the Warriors in six.
There you have it. I say Warriors at six is probably the safe bet. Last night, Rangers won game seven. We're shifting towards hockey, Stanley Cup playoffs. They're going up against the Tampa Bay Lightnings, who swept my Florida Panthers. Ryan, your thoughts over this matchup, and will it be closer than the Panthers series?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Rangers, you know, my Pittsburgh Penguins, you know, lost to the Rangers, you know, first round of playoffs, you know.
So you're saying the Rangers are not supposed to be this deep?
Well, they had a great regular season, you know, but the Penguins got up 3-1 on them, you know, and eventually lost three straight games to the Rangers. And then, first two series in Carolina just punched the Rangers in the mouth, you know, it wasn't even close, you know. But, again, you know, you feed off the energy at home, they switched to back, you know. But, you know, Carolina wins game five, you know, goes up 3-2. Rangers won game six at home. But so kind of, you know, consensus is last night that Carolina home was just going to win, you know. That's kind of how the series has gone. But they kind of read the goaltending of Igor Sushinsky, you know, who, you know, could be the MVP of the NHL this year. He's just been that good at times, you know. They're not the best team in the world. They kind of just do rely on a lot of good goaltending. You know, they do have firepower at times. You know, they'll come out. But so did Tampa Bay. I think Tampa Bay didn't have the greatest season in the world. They also have a guy in goaltender, Veleski, you know, who, you know, they seem to be every year in the playoffs, he just steps it up his level, like he did against Florida this last round. So, goaltending, it's going to be good this next series, and making goals a premium, I think it'll be closely contested series. I do like the Lightning to pull this out, though, Santiago.
Okay, that sounds sufficient. I hope the Rangers pull it out. They haven't won it in a while, and let's see how the Madison Square Garden does well. Champions League game, let me get my thoughts on that. Liverpool lost 1-0 against Real Madrid. Real Madrid had 21 shots. Liverpool had 21 shots. Madrid only had 4 shots on goal and able to score 1 goal. But the hero, the man of the match, was Thibaut Courtois, the goalkeeper for Real Madrid. They won a sloppy, but it is what it is. They won it fair and square. Ryan, if you watched it, what were your thoughts over that match?
I was more of a highlight viewer that, I was in Boston for that, doing some sightseeing Saturday. But review is kind of a lot what you said. Real Madrid knew the only way they're going to beat them is kind of bunker down and use the counterattack. They didn't get many chances, but kind of took advantage of what a few chances they had. And like you said, their keeper, made a lot of timely saves. I did think, Liverpool was a little overconfident, reading some press clippings going into the game, I think they were kind of just riding the momentum, of their season and FA Cup victory, that they're going to kind of come with a grand slam of all the trophies. But still a successful year for Liverpool, and no doubt.
There you have it. Liverpool possibly Mane will be out. We'll be going to Germany next season, so hopefully not, but it might be going to Bayern Munich. Anyways, that's all she wrote. Ryan Krista, what is the best way to reach you online to ask you, hey, where's the best place to get some eclairs in Boston?
Mad Dog Report on Instagram. Not Twitter, but that's probably the best way to kind of reach me. So try to stay home, recover, get stronger. San Diego, just a little known sports facts here going on, that maybe not a general audience is caring. Our Liberty Flames are back in the NCAA baseball tournament, heading down to Gainesville, Florida to play against the Florida Gators regional. So that's big for Scott Jackson. I think there's like 10 teams that had both made an FBS Bowl, the girls softball tournament and the baseball tournament. So good things going on down in Lynchburg, Virginia for Liberty Flames Sporting Department.
Liberty Flames Sports always on the go. And then, of course, this week is SEC meetings going on. So the coaches are going to see face-to-face and maybe have a little talk about how much money they spent on players.
Yeah, I don't know if you'll see a lot of dynamics. I think there's a lot of wishful thinking, a lot of things will happen, but I think combo heads will prevail here, I'm looking forward here. I think after we get off this call, I think we should get a lot of reports that went down, some talking points in a not very busy sports part of the calendar. So for college sports, so especially if you're a big football fan, so it's a lot of waiting game until, especially until media days in July. So, but we'll see.
100 days to the NFL.
Yeah, so I mean we're in the countdown, Santiago. We just kind of got to get through this, dog days of summer here. Once you get through the NBA Finals here, which, I'm all about giving players rest, but, we're talking game one on June 2nd and game seven on June 19th. That's a long time, Santiago.
That's a long time in sports, but I take it because summer, there's nothing much going on except Wimbledon and the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. There's no soccer tournament this summer. The World Cup is until November, so it's going to be a pretty much – that's it.
Yeah. How's your Inter Miami team doing?
Inter Miami is hanging in there. They had a streak going on. Fan base is not really doing well, to be honest, as usual. I guess maybe with the new stadium, it might change some things. But they are currently in seventh place, so in the playoff zone. So we'll see how that goes, and we'll see if Antonio Brown signs anywhere. He says he's not going to play anywhere.
No, I don't think so. But yeah, going back, MLS is the one. It's got to be the longest sports season of any team in North American sports, you know, league. You know, where they start in March and then they don't end up until December. It's a grueling marathon, that's for sure.
Exactly. All right, man. Sounds good. MLB, MLS. You can reach us at thesportscast.net, our website, or the Sportscast One. The French Open is going on as well, so we'll see who wins between Nadal and Djokovic. That should be an exciting matchup. And, of course, Stanley Cup Finals, and then, of course, NBA Finals as well. So we'll see if the Warriors get their fourth championship or the Boston Celtics with their 18th or whatever championship, because I know they're in the teens somewhere. So we'll see what happens. Ryan, thanks for coming on.
All right, no problem. We'll talk soon.
This was your update.